I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the ins and outs of starting your own business. If you've ever had a dream to work for yourself and be your own boss, this is the show for you. We'll talk about what you need to do to get your idea up and running and help you identify mistakes to avoid. I'll be joined by three guests: Doug Bamey of the Indiana Small Business Development Center, Sandy McLeese of Cambridge Capital Management, and Greg Price of IndyScore. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or connecting with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about starting your own business, what you need to do to get your idea to run your own business off the ground. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Got three guests with me today, starting with Doug Bamey, who is with the Indiana Small Business Development Center. Doug, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. We also have with us Sandy McLeese, who is with Cambridge Capital Management. Good to have you here, Sandy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. And Greg Price, who is with IndyScore. Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's our pleasure.
It's good to have you all here. Well, I want to start first so that people understand who's representing what piece of the puzzle here by asking a little bit just to identify what your organizations do. Doug, could you tell me just a little bit about the Indiana Small Business Development Center?
Sure. The ISBDC, which is the acronym, we're a nonprofit organization that's funded by the Small Business Administration, as well as the IEDC, which is the Indiana Economic Development Corporation. And our charter is to help small business owners and entrepreneurs. I'm actually the regional director for the central office, which is the central region, which is Marion County and the surrounding donut counties. And like I said, we're here to advise and counsel small business owners. So we work with startups, people that want to start a business, as well as existing businesses that want to grow and
need some counsel or some advice or,
exactly,
or direction, information sharing.
Exactly.
Sandy, tell me a little bit about Cambridge Capital Management.
Well, Cambridge Capital Management, we're professional managers of non-traditional financing sources, and we have four of those sources we run out of our office. I'm actually the senior loan officer for Indiana Statewide CDC. We provide access to an SBA 504 program that I can get into more detail about. And then we have the Indiana Community Business Credit Corp. It's a mezzanine fund put together by 29 Indiana banks. And then we have Lynx Capital Corporation. It can be part of the financing solution for companies owned by minorities. And then we have Cambridge Ventures, which is a venture fund that we run out of our office as well.
Okay. And Greg, tell me about IndyScore.
IndyScore. We're part of a network that began in 1964. We have 12,000 volunteers across the country. We in Central Indiana, Chapter 6. We're the sixth oldest chapter in the country. There's about 545 chapters currently.
Mm-hmm. What's your mission?
I'm sorry?
What is your mission?
Our mission, basically, for a long time, we were recognized as the counseling arm of the SBA. Mm-hmm. Today, we look at our counseling as more for the life of your business. Our mission is to help small businesses, be it startups or first-tier businesses, but currently, I have about 70 counselors here in Central Indiana. We have five branches. Our main office at Keystone at the Crossing. We have Lafayette, Greenwood, Noblesville, and Avon. Most of those operate out of economic development centers, Noblesville's City Hall, and the main office is 8500 Keystone Crossing. Those 70 or so counselors represent, first of all, SCORE's an acronym. Mm-hmm. Stands for Service Corps of Retired Execs. Mm-hmm. We all basically are retired with 40 or 45 years of upper management experience. And our real charter is to transfer that knowledge to small businesses so that we can get those folks started.
And they don't have to reinvent the wheel.
We're not reinventing the wheel. What we're doing is transferring what we've learned over 40 or 45 years. You know, just yesterday, we brought on four new mentors. Mm-hmm. They will go through a process. I will counsel one of them. There's three other folks that will counsel the other three. That process will take about 2.5 to 3 months.
We are talking about the challenges of starting your own business here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Greg, I'm going to stay with you for a second.
Sure.
Okay, so let's get into the meat of this. Suppose I've got a great idea here, I think, for my own business. You know, I've built a better mousetrap, as it were, to abuse the cliche. How should I go about getting started?
Well, the first thing would be to call the Keystone Avenue, our main office. Mm-hmm. That's at 317-226-7264.
Go ahead and give them that number again.
That is 317-226-7264.
Okay.
The first thing will happen, we'll ask some questions, and the first question is, what part of town are you on? Because we won't bring somebody from Greenwood up to Keystone. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get those folks as close to where they can. So that begins the process. We'll schedule them. If we can answer questions over telephone, certainly we will. Mm-hmm. But what we'd really rather do is see a face-to-face. Mm-hmm. That way we can sit down and really get into what that good idea is. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, okay, we'll sit them down in a face-to-face. We'll listen. We're not going to interject our thoughts at that point. We want information so that we can make the best recommendations going forward. We may, that first session is generally an hour, mm-hmm. but basically it's investigation. Let's hear about that idea. Let's find out, you know, what the culture of that individual is and ask those kinds of questions. Now, the first meeting is, again, investigation. The second meeting, which we always would encourage somebody to come back in, but we'll basically give them a summary of that first meeting, and we may give them three or four bullet points to mm-hmm. do. You know, it's more or less a to-do list, mm-hmm. and it's a suggestion from all of us to encourage these people to come up with a timetable, a reasonable timetable, and keep their focus narrow. A lot of the clients may have that good idea, but they start to wander off paths as well. So we try to keep that focus narrow, give them two or three things that we think they should work on, whether that's from a financial standpoint or just sales, marketing, or organization, and have them come back, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks and sit them down and see what the progress is. You know, the main thing we've found out over the years and this is why we encourage them to come up with that timetable, is discipline. Mm-hmm. To run that business, you have to have a pretty, you know, a fair amount of personal discipline. And we try to not discourage anybody from starting a business. We want to encourage them to start a business. Our whole thing is to about stimulating the economy. And so if we can get them started with a pathway that they feel comfortable with, that's our charge.
We are talking about starting your own business here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Chapin, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and sorry for the background noise.
Not a problem. What's your question?
My question is, I actually just fortunate that I had a meeting with my friend. I'm running some ideas with my friend, and it's related to technology. And we don't have in Indianapolis area like a, you know, technology startup engine like Bay Area and other areas have. So So if you have a technology-based idea and you just an idea, where do you start? I mean, who do you bounce it from, or do we have a group that kind of guide you from just an idea to, you know, first model of business?
Thanks very much for the question, Chapin. Doug Bamey, I think we'll throw that one to you first.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Well, so you have an idea. I guess there needs to be an evaluation as far as where do you want to take this idea. Is this an idea that you want to sell to somebody, or is it something you want to start your own business and progress from there? Let me just backtrack a second. One of the things that we like to do with folks like yourself is we'll ask you to take a online assessment. We want to get a feel for what is it that you're trying to do and how far have you already progressed. At that point in time, that helps us figure out, okay, how can we help this person?
Is that online assessment something that just anybody can do, or is it they sort of have to be invited to do it?
Actually, going right to our website, isbdc.org,
okay,
and that will take you to that website that will have a take an assessment, and basically that's going to get you going. And so, you know, back to your specific, you know, an evaluation needs to be done. Is this a product that is something that can be marketed? Is there a market for it? What is the avenue? What's the strategy you want to take this? But I'd even take a step backwards and say, is this something you want to do? You need to have a personal evaluation as far as, are you in the position right now to start your own business? Do you have the business skill set? Do you have the support from family and friends? Do you have the financial background and resources to do something like this?
When you say, do you have the business skill set, what sort of skill set are you talking about? And because that will, I think, help people too as they start this process.
That's a great question. One of the things that we will do when somebody takes our survey, we get a pretty good feel for what it is that they know. And many times we will encourage them to take one of our workshops. And the one that this person would take would be how to launch a business. And it's really going to give you a good feel for what is really involved in starting a business. What are all the different ramifications? And many people are surprised as to all the different things that you have to do and know.
Such as?
Well, evaluating the market. Is there really a market for the product or service that I have? Who's the competition? Is there enough business out there that I can actually, this business can survive and thrive? That's just the first couple steps of it. Money. And that's something I think we'll talk about with Sandy.
There's a reason I've been saving Sandy for the end here. It's you sort of have to have the idea, and then we're going to ask her about how you get the funding.
Absolutely. I mean, the money is huge. Unfortunately, it can be the backbreaker on whether you're going to start a business or not. Do you have the funds yourself? And if you don't, can you obtain those funds?
Well, and I think, Sandy, you've been given a cue here, which is, suppose we've got, for the sake of this discussion, somebody does have a good, viable idea. How do they go about convincing you as a source of the startup capital, as it were, that it is a viable idea? What kind of information do you need, and what do you look for?
Well, we look for, to start with, that they have a good business plan put together. By the time they come to us, they have already visited SCORE and ISBDC.
You
and
hope.
Gotten help with putting together their business plan. And along with that are things that Doug talked about. I believe that you've got to have support of your family as well. They're going to be putting lots and lots of stress and time into this. And so helping along with that would be the support of your own family. And to know that you are expected to put in your own resources. You've got to put your own resources at risk when you're asking for capital. And the first place that people generally go is their bank. They check with them first. They have a relationship usually with their banker. And we market most of our what Cambridge does to those bankers, and hopefully they're going to refer you to an alternative source of financing, such as the SBA 504 program or mezzanine financing or whatever capital that you need. It depends on your situation.
We're going to pick that up in a second because I want to follow up on that. We are talking about the challenges of starting your own business here on No Limits. My guests are Doug Bamey, who is with the Indiana Small Business Development Center, Sandy McLeese with Cambridge Capital Management, and Greg Price of IndyScore. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about starting your own business today on No Limits. My guests are Doug Bamey of the Indiana Small Business Development Center, Sandy McLeese of Cambridge Capital Management, and Greg Price of IndyScore. Sandy, I'm going to be the one who sounds stupid here. We were talking about a lot of different funding or financing options for getting business started. And I know people are thinking mezzanine, all of that. I thought that was an architectural term, not a, you know. Could you walk through what some of those options are and what they really mean and how people go about accessing them?
Sure. Well, like I said, it depends on what you're looking for. If you are a startup business and you want to buy your own building or you just want to buy some new equipment, you look at the Indiana statewide 504, the SBA 504 program for that. It's a lower cost, longer term type financing. Mezzanine is a different type of financing, which means it's gap financing. The bank can't quite get there. They can't quite give you as much money as you're looking for. And normally that might pertain to a startup and it may not. So that's what the mezzanine means.
And you mentioned earlier that people should be willing to put their own resources into the startup. I think the cliche is, you know, have your own skin in the game. Mm-hmm. Everybody having some skin in the game here. How much should that be? Is there a formula?
Traditionally, if you just go straight to your bank and you're asking for, they're going to ask you for a third down of the assets that you're asking for the cash that you're asking for.
So say you need $200,000, they're going to say, I'll make the math easier, $210,000, so it's divisible by three easily. They're going to say you need to commit 70 of your own cash.
Right. But if you are looking for fixed asset financing, the nice thing is the program that I'm the loan officer for, the SBA 504 program allows you to only put in 10%. So you might want
to down to 21,000 if we're still using 210.
So it's a good thing to look at these alternative sources of financing.
What is the most common mistake people make when they're trying to start a business? What's the pitfall that they should avoid? I'll start with Greg Price on that one.
Probably not thinking the process through. I had a person not too long ago came in and just said, I'd like $500,000. Can you help me put a business loan together? I said, well, firstly, we need to drill down and see what that $500,000 is going to be used for. Mm-hmm. So the first assignment with this person was to go back and start the process of putting the plan together. Mm-hmm. A big piece of that plan is the financial side of that. A bank, any lending or funding agent is going to want to see how we demonstrate that we're going to pay those funds back. So basically, it's probably not getting enough information, whether it's sales, marketing, or just plain old demographics. A lot of times, I'll send them to Central Library, mm-hmm. because the third and fourth floor, it's located at St. Clair and Meridian Street, those librarians are business people, business backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, I'd like for you to go in there and just look at a template of a business plan and maybe a like industry, so they can start to see what that investigation is going to entail and what that information should look like. Firstly, I always say, this is not your plan. I just want you to take a look-see, and then we'll take it from there. But probably just not having the information.
We are talking about starting your own business here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Doug Bamey, same question. What's the biggest mistake? I mean, you get a lot of these people. That's the reason you guys exist. What's the biggest mistake people make?
Well, I'll expand on what Greg was saying. He mentioned business plan. And really, by putting a business plan together, and this is something you as that entrepreneur, you have to do yourself. Now, we guide you. We'll show you how to do it, but we're not going to do it for you. You have to do this.
Show you what the template is.
Correct. And we'll advise you and we'll challenge you and, hey, what about this or what about that? And many times, that's going to open eyes. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is sometimes it'll open the eyes to the point of, oh, wait, maybe I'm not ready to do this. And there's nothing wrong with that. A timeout for something like this is great because you need to kind of rethink things. Because you don't want to jump into anything too quick. So,
especially since once you've started, it's kind of hard to turn back the clock.
That's right. You've invested time and probably money and not just your own money. Mm-hmm. So that planning brings things to light because a business plan covers all the aspects. So you as that entrepreneur, you're going to have to really think things through. And there's going to be a lot of aha moments. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of, ooh, I can't do it this way, I need to do it that way. Mm-hmm. But it's something you have to do, and, maybe I'll throw this to Sandy. If you're going to get a loan from a financial institution, the banks are going to want to see that you did the plan because they want to know what you're getting into, and they want to know how you're going to do it.
What goes into a good business plan? What things do you have to have for it to be an effective business plan? I'll stay with you on that one,
okay,
Doug, but let everybody have a crack if they would like. Other than that, I'm going to add a twist when we get to Sandy.
Okay. All right. The big thing is the market. What is it that you are really trying to sell? What is it that you're trying to provide? And who is that market that you're going after with that? What's the structure of the company going to be like? What kind of resources do you need? How much money do you need? There's a variety of things, and these all really lead toward what are the resources that you're going to need to make this business, to get it off the ground, and to make it successful. And resources can be the people, it can be the equipment, and so on, but it comes down to money.
Sandy, I guess the I'm going to add a variation on this. When you see, you've already said, you want to see a sound business plan. What things, when you see them in a business plan, are or don't see them, are the things that make you grab for the no stamp the quickest, the turn down? Reject.
Not thought out financials. They need to have very well thought out financials. And you can tell right away if that has happened. And it goes with the industry they're in. The other thing is management experience. Sometimes they don't have the background or the history or the industry experience to do this type of business. So they need to make sure that they have, if they're not the person, that they have somebody working with them that is. Mm-hmm. And surround themselves with advisors. Did they put together an advisory board? My boss, Gene Witowitz, asked me to say that one of the most important things is to surround yourself with smart people that can keep you accountable for the decisions that you make.
And also presumably make it so that you don't have to be the source of every idea, too,
right,
that there are other people there. We have gotten an email question from a listener, and if you want to join this conversation, please do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can connect via email, as this person did, by sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Listener says, how do the panelists respond to new, and in parentheses, social knowledge economy entrepreneurs versus traditional manufacturing and service businesses? which were prevalent when many of these organizations were formed. Is the capital too risk adverse? Are the advisors adequately versed on evolving business models? I'll start with you on that one, Doug.
Social knowledge?
Yeah.
Was that the term?
Yeah, to new economy entrepreneurs.
Okay. Different than the traditional manufacturing side of the business. But, you know, one of the things that I have seen, whether it's a high-tech business, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's service, so on, it's all about how are you going to sell this service? How are you going to sell this product? Do you really understand who your customer is? And I've harped on this before. That's critical because so many people that are getting into a business have a specific skill set. They've developed something, or they have a skill. They can make something, but it's not just to have the product or the service, and people are just going to show up at your doorstep.
Yeah, the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come approach doesn't work
exactly,
so well.
Exactly. So you've got to figure out, is this something that I can sell, and how am I going to do it? And I would say that's going to be a key, even in that type of an industry.
What kind of, in terms of the process here of getting a business started, Greg Price, how long should you wait to be making money? I mean, there is a time, even if you do everything right, finding your market takes a little while.
Well, I think all industries are different. I don't know that there's necessarily a magic formula, but certainly in the near term after at least 1 year. But to expand a little bit on what Doug was saying, we have to help the client figure out what's going to make them unique. What sets them apart from the guy down the street? Now, when we talk about old line manufacturing versus new social age technology, you've still got some basic things, whether it's, bricks and mortar or whether it's through a computer, and that is taking care of the customer. How do we service the customer? What's the competition? What's the pricing? A lot of our clients haven't really thought through the pricing. I tell clients, if you think what makes you unique is that if you're going to be the cheapest guy on the street, it's probably not the strategy you want to look at. Because these people are getting in the business really for one reason, to chase a dream and to make some money. Mm-hmm. Now, if we can't teach them how to make the money, then all we're doing is trading dollars. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So, again, whether it's bricks and mortar or new age technology, you still have to understand how to take care of that client.
And, Sandy, probably the last part of this was pitched more to you. The listener's question was, is the capital too risk-averse? Are the advisors adequately versed on evolving business models? I mean, is there some trepidation about dealing in these new businesses as they were?
A little bit, but you still have to have the traditional collateral, mm-hmm, and the cash flow to pay the loan back. I mean, that's very, very basic. So depending on what the social knowledgeable business is, they still, at the end of the day, have to provide those two items.
And be able to show.
Right.
We are talking about starting your own business here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, in terms of you've also mentioned some questions relating to commitment here, too. And in my own observation, I've never started a business myself, but having seen friends who have done it, do people underestimate the time commitment that goes into it? The ones that I have seen that succeeded, basically, that's your life for at least a year. You don't take time off. The weekend becomes just a concept again rather than a reality. Doug Bamey, is that something people underestimate?
I think a lot of them do. again, I think that's part of what our job is to paint reality, what is going to be involved. I think it's always important for people who are thinking about going into business to reach out to others they know that have their own business and talk to them, get a feel for how it's working in their life, find out what kind of mistakes they've done. It's always good to have a mentor. Mm-hmm. And
which is sort of the premise of SCORE to some degree.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So it's a huge commitment. Again, not only in time, but, and I think Sandy mentioned this, is the family going to be there to support you as well?
Well, that's the next question I was going to go. I mean, are there numbers on you know, divorce rates, for example, for entrepreneurs or folks who take this on? Because if people aren't together on it, if a couple's not together on it, then I would think that would be incredibly stressful.
I know there are numbers. I can't tell you what those are, but I can tell you.
Are they good or bad?
They're not very good. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you another part of that is partners. Mm-hmm. Where you bring on, you're doing this with somebody else or you know, a few people. Partners, that can be a difficult situation because all of a sudden now you're married to that person in a sense.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of long-time friendships break up when people go into business together.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we will encourage is don't just do this on a handshake. You need to have this in writing, this agreement in writing. And more importantly, if it is friends or family, because, you know, you're going to be sitting down and having possibly Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, you know, that following holiday, and are you still going to be able to talk?
We are talking about starting your own business here on No Limits. Bob, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon to you and your panel. I just have a question real quick. I'm just curious to know, as far as for your host and the institutions that they represent, do you believe that it's possible that your institutions are so traditional that where you cannot, that you're out of touch with, like, today's people are, let's say, entrepreneurs and wanting to start up a company, and where, you know, for example, where they want to start up a company and you have an input where, you know, it's so traditional where you don't think that something that will work. And what I mean by that is, for example, a bank that is normally traditional lending, that usually people that have, like, for example, someone who wants to start, say, like Microsoft back then, they would have to go our exact target they want from personal someone that was an investor, private investor, and they say, hey, well, this sounds like something that will work, and then they go with it. Do you believe that you guys are, to no offense to you, are so, that you're, and I'm not saying ancient, but traditional, to where you're out of touch with today's entrepreneurs that are wanting to start up companies today?
Thanks very much for the call, Bob. Welcome. Sandy, I'll throw that one to you first, since you're the money at the table.
I would say no. If he's looking, we're very open to all ideas, and, you know, please give us a call and a discussion. We'll get together and discuss what it is that you're looking for. And if we don't have a solution, we'll point you in the right direction.
Well, and some of that, part of the one of the motifs that's coming through this conversation we're having, too, is that there's a degree of risk that goes into too. You know, how do you assess the risk, Sandy, before you're... Because let's assume, using that $210,000 figure, I'm going to walk out of here with $140,000 of the bank's money, which is really a bunch of investors' money, and, you know, there's a chance that it may not come back.
Well, we believe that small business owners tend to be risk takers anyway. They're investing their own time, capital. They're building something new. They're visionaries who identify solutions to their perceived needs and creating local jobs as a result.
We'll pick up this question of risk on the other side. We are talking about starting your own business. My guests are Doug Bamey, Sandy McLeese, and Greg Price. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You're listening to No Limits. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about starting your own business. My guests are Doug Bamey of the Indiana Small Business Development Center, Sandy McLeese of Cambridge Capital Management, and Greg Price of IndyScore. Sandy, before we went to the break, we were talking about really how you assess risk with all of this, and you made the point that obviously most investors, they're risk takers. That's part of how you reap a return, is obviously you absorb some risk. But that said, how do you make the evaluation that there's too much risk here?
Well, it all goes back to cash flow. If it just doesn't cash flow, they're taking too much of a risk.
Well, then let me take a step back here on all of this so that we can help the person who's out there who maybe does have a good idea but doesn't have, you know, a business background of any kind. When we're talking about finding a market or whatever, assuming you build something, well, what steps should you take to... You know, how should you look at determining whether you have something that is distinctive that people will respond to? Are there steps that they should take to evaluate that market? Doug Bamey.
Well, and I think that's where we can be very helpful. When we sit down and we do one-on-one counseling with these folks, and we're going to point these things out to them. It's kind of like the business plan template. We keep talking about that. Well, there's a reason for that, because it kind of takes you through the steps. Is there a market? Okay. What is the product that you have? Who else has it? How big is it? So on and so forth. So, yeah, there really is. There's steps. It kind of depends on the product or service. But those are things that we can help them realize. If I could just take a step back on our last caller, you know, I would turn that around and say Microsoft, Apple, any of the startups from 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I doubt if they went to the bank to start that business. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing they started with their own money, friends and family. They found
investors,
angel
basically.
Investors, yeah. You bet, because
who
of
retained
the risk.
Ownership. You know, you get a loan from the bank, you pay the loan back, and you're done, basically. But with an investor, they continue to own a piece of the company.
Exactly.
Going forward.
And that's one of the things that we help clients with, too, is where do you find the money? Where is the appropriate source? And you're right. Risk is key. If it's a product or a service that's very new, not necessarily proven, well, then it's riskier. So you're going to have to find the right type of investor, or you're going to have to make it work. You're going to have to scale your business down, prove that it works. Maybe this is your own money, mm-hmm. and then be able to, then an investor is going to say, okay, yeah, now I'm ready to talk.
We are talking about starting your own business here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We got a note from a listener who didn't want to go on the air. Just reminding us that the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce has a business ownership initiative. It's a nonprofit dedicated to helping people get a business up and running, and it offers workshops, coaching, and microloans. Most of the services are free, and more information is online at businessownership.org. Well, in terms of the challenges of doing this, we've talked about the things that maybe are the pitfalls people ought to avoid. What are the things, you know, you're all doing this in part because you're committed to the idea of seeing people get businesses off and running. You want to have that. What leads you to the eureka moment? Says, oh, man, that is a great idea. That's going to work. I think that's going to work. Greg.
One of the things we introduced probably a year and a half ago, and I know SCORE is an acronym, but we're not necessarily all about acronyms, but we have this thing called a slate. It's stop and listen. Don't bring preconceived ideas into those counseling sessions. Stop and listen and then analyze. You know, and develop some teaching tools along the way. It's basically what we do. and then be able to evaluate or analyze, you know, the success of the idea. Again, I think we can learn a lot just by listening. You know, you've got to have passion. We see clients, you know, all day long that are very passionate. I used to use an example about the guy who was a trim carpenter. Mm-hmm. Did excellent work. Didn't know how to run a business. So it all fell back to teaching and training. Okay.
Doug, what's the moment for you that says, oh, wow, this one's going to fly?
I love to talk to entrepreneurs as well as existing business owners about their business. And you can see, you can hear it and see it as far as the passion that they have. And I think that's a real key, is passion, but also not an unbridled passion, you know, that they realize there has to be things behind it, that there's a lot of work and a lot of resources that have to be extended behind that as well. So I think I get my eureka moment is typically when I see that the passion in somebody and they've covered all their bases. They just, anytime I can challenge them with a question and they have the answers. They've done their homework.
A listener named Jennifer's connected with us on Facebook, and you can do that by connecting with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Ask the question, does your panel also assist with helping established businesses grow? Doug, I'll stay with you for a second, then go to Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what the mix is, but it's probably 60-40, 60 meaning the existing businesses. And, you know, there's really a couple different types. In today's world, because of the economy that we've had, there's a lot of businesses that are in survival mode. And that's really what we're working with them on, is just how can I survive until I get things going again. The other type of business is that is just, it's growing, and those are challenging in themselves. For somebody to grow, they may need to go see Sandy get mm-hmm. funding, but they're going to need some help from us to package that. How are you going to be able to put all those projections, put that business plan together for Sandy? So, yeah, we work with existing businesses in all different phases and stages of their life.
Greg.
That happens to be a metric that we track every month. And we're currently running about 20% of the folks that we see are currently in business. Now, from time to time, that'll go up a tick, and some months it'll go down some. Nationally, it looks like it's running 35 or so percent. So we're down a little bit from the national score. What we're trying to do in both Hamilton, Marion, and Hendricks County is to really raise the visibility of SCORE. One of our marketing strategies for this fiscal year was to not only raise the visibility, but to go after existing businesses. And we're doing that by way of just making people more aware of SCORE. Our people, you know, with 40 or 45 years of experience, are all problem solvers. Mm-hmm. So if we can go after what I call first-tier businesses, that's going to be good for they and for us. Now, remember, with SCORE, there's never a charge, and you can always come back as many times as you want. But that's really what we'd like to target, is more people who are in business.
Sandy, how much of what you do involves existing businesses? Is that the bulk of it, or are you primarily startups?
Yes, ours is probably the opposite of SCORE's 20%. Ours is probably 20% startup and 80% existing businesses.
And what do the existing businesses come to you for, basically?
Oh, they come for all kinds of things. They want to expand the building they're in. They want to buy a new building. They want to buy a new piece of equipment. They need working capital. They need all aspects of owning a business and what they need the financing for.
How do you go? Let's assume that what you've done is very, very successful here, and you want to start franchising. Is that a good idea? And what are the signposts? How do you go about saying, okay, I've had this successful, you know, venture here, and I think I can push it out further. Doug?
That's a great question. So expanding, franchise can be one of the options. Mm-hmm. It could be licensing. Mm-hmm. There's a couple different ways to go about that. So one of the things I think we would do is sit down and say, okay, let's take a step back and figure out what's the goal here? What do you really want to do? If it turns out that franchising looks to be a probable route, we need to talk about all the resources involved. There's a lot of legal ramifications in franchising, mm-hmm. which means there's a lot of investment that's involved. And then the other side of it is, if I'm now a franchisor and I have franchisees, well, my day is different than what it was before, running mm-hmm. one business or one sole location, so to speak. So, and again, just because I'm a great restaurant owner doesn't mean I'm a good franchisor. So, again, we need to look into the personal side of this.
What we've talked about here, we just talked about the successful side. What are the signs, despite your best efforts, despite having a good business plan, let's face it, if this were easy, everyone would be rich and, everything would succeed and it doesn't. What are the signs that, okay, you've given this a try and it's really not working, it's time to shut it down? Greg Price.
Probably negative cash flow.
Well, that's a start, but presumably at the beginning you start a little bit with negative cash flow. You'd mentioned earlier let it go maybe a year. But
I think Doug might have referenced this a minute ago. We had a client or two, just within the last year and a half, that really didn't understand how much work was going to go into the business. And so one of the signs, is that in itself. They weren't willing to really work that 10 or 12 hours a day. And so that particular business that I'm talking about decided to close. And I had made a personal visit to this business just to kind of see how things were going. And they said, gee whiz, didn't think we were going to have to work this hard. And so, you can kind of get a temperature or a pulse from the owner mm-hmm. or the business operator. Whether that's going to run or not. And it's not always about financing. Mm-hmm. It could be about just that. Or perhaps they got into something without stopping and thinking it through and decided it wasn't for them. A lot of times I'll suggest to our clients, we put on a series of workshops, and we just call it Simple Steps for Starting a Business. Mm-hmm. It's five sessions, and we do it on a Saturday at some of the libraries here in central Indiana, for instance, Noblesville, Greenwood, Nora, and the like. And what we'll do on that Saturday is just give them an overview. Here are all the things you need to look at. And then what we'll do is have four consecutive Thursdays, which we'll get into more of the meat of it, organization, sales and marketing, business plans, the financing. Just so that they really know what's coming at them. So one of the signs, obviously, is that they just didn't know what they were getting into.
How much does personality affect this? I mean, I've known some people who have been who've started businesses, started small, and, amassed, at least by my standards, incredible fortunes. And they have certain characteristics that are in common. Inevitably, they're very bright. Inevitably, they are very, very hardworking. But there are quite a few people out there who are bright and are hardworking and don't have that kind of success. At least in my own mind, in observing them, there's a question of temperament, too. That and the way, I've sort of explained it this to myself, that maybe oversimplifying, is that they're willing to sort of accept and wrap their heads around a lot more risk than the rest of us are. They can say, okay, I'm committing, basically everything we've accumulated through, 10 years of working or whatever, along with whatever the bank will give me. If this doesn't work, I lose everything and I have to start completely over and still sleep at night. I could not do that. Doug, is that a fair assessment?
Well, to expand upon that, sometimes it depends on where you're at in your life. Mm-hmm. How old are you? Do you have a house
starting
payment?
Over at 23 is easier than
exactly.
at 63.
Exactly. So we see that a lot, just depending on what their situation is, what kind of financial situation, what kind of life situation that they have. One of the things I see, I guess, from a pattern of success is persistence. They just don't want to give up. They're going to keep at it. They're going to make this thing work. But I also see multitasking. You've got to wear so many hats. And I think a lot of people have this misnomer that, well, I'm going to be able to hire somebody to be the salesperson. I may be able to hire somebody to handle the books. In the very beginning, you may not be able to afford that. You may be the salesperson. And in most of the case, the owner of the business has to be the top salesperson anyway. So, yeah, a lot of hats, and you've got to be able to fill all those hats.
Real quickly, because we're getting toward the end of the program here. Sandy, what is the one most important thing, if you're starting a business, that first thing you should do, the very first thing you should do?
The very first thing you should do is spend your time on research. I would say make sure that you've done all your research and that you're knowledgeable about your business and what you're doing. And take the advice of these gentlemen on everything they've said today and go to classes and read books. And an example of that, you've got a business right down the street here called North Meridian Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
He did his research. He was turned down several times for loans. Mm-hmm. And bought the former WFYI building, I believe, mm-hmm. and used our SBA 504 financing to put that up. But he didn't give up. So I would just say continue to do your research and roll with the punches.
I'm afraid that will have to be the last word as we're getting close on time. I would like to thank all of you. I cannot say, frankly, that any of you have convinced me that I ought to go into business for myself. I've got that whole risk-averse thing going on right now, but I've been fascinated by the conversation. Greg Price with IndyScore, thank you very much for spending this time
with
us.
You're more than welcome. It was our pleasure.
It was good to have you here. Sandy McLeese of Cambridge Capital Management, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And Doug Bamey of Indiana Small Business Development Center, thank you very much for spending this time with us.
John, thanks for having me.
It was really good to have all of you here. I am John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. We will be back next week. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.